Dan, who's your favorite Rugrat?
Bro, Tommy for sure.
Tommy Pickles? How about you?
Tommy Pickles. I honestly could not. Angelica.
Angelica.
Oh, she was a bitch.
She was a fucking stone cold bitch. What was the redhead? What was the ginger's name?
Charlie.
No, Chucky.
Chucky.
He was such a pussy, though.
Chucky was such a pussy.
He was such a pussy.
Just like a ginger.
I liked Phil.
Of course you did.
One of the twins. That's he was right, like, yeah, Phil and Lil.
Phil and Lil.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was.
And the cat, what was the cat's name?
Oh.
No, there was a dog, wasn't it?
No, they had a cat too.
They had a cat and a dog.
Yeah, they had a cat too, I think.
And the dog was Spike.
Spike?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then, dude, the dad was such a stoner. Stu was such a stoner too.
All he was doing was in the basement
stuff.
Making toys.
Yeah, that's what he was. He's
a toy maker. Give me a fucking break.
You see that? His tie was never tied up straight. You guys ever heard the theory that the Rugrats actually don't exist and they're all just imaginary figments of Angelica's imagination?
What?
Because Tommy was actually a stillborn and Stu went crazy.
No, I have not heard that theory before.
Check out Reddit if you want to find more of that.
And
the other one is how when the grandpa like babysits one time, he brings a movie for them, and then he brings back like alien, like sexy space invaders.
Oh,
which
I
is
do.
Definitely
oh,
I remember
a porn.
That. Right, I remember
right.
that one. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Welcome to Pop Not Soda, your weekly six pack of pop culture. Sorry, cannot. This goddamn beer that I'm drinking right now has got me off my game.
Oh, you're not enjoying the honey bourbon cask wheat?
No, fuck you, Shot Tom. Fuck you. Yeah, how did you describe it, Brian?
Oh, well, I can't take credit for the honeycomb part of this recipe.
Golden Graham,
excuse me. I can't take credit for
the concoction that follows,
because it wasn't named. But Golden Grahams, Dan brought up the fact that this beer tastes like Golden Grahams, and I completely agree, with one slight addition. You know, it probably tastes like a bowl of Golden Grahams after Chet from South Carolina drinks 240s of Bud Ice. And then takes one of those leaks where it's like, it's almost like life changing.
The lean on the wall.
Yeah, it's like your like legs go numb and you just.
It's an Austin Powers pee.
Yeah, exactly. Just right into the center of the bowl.
Because you're out of milk.
He's trying to do you a favor. There's no milk in South Carolina. And so yeah, you're just going to piss in it and then eat it. And then Shock Top. Somehow, you know, one of the brainchilds at Shock Top probably tasted this at some point in his life and said, let's make a flavor out of it.
What blows my mind is how many taste testing palates did this have to go through before they actually, like, put it into, like, the shelves? Like, did nobody fucking taste
what
anything?
What did they
taste before? Like, pine tar?
This was the last beer everyone tasted after they were already drunk. Like, they tasted all the beers in the world before this one.
Yeah.
So by the time they got there, they were smashed, and that's what you got.
Or like, this is the owner's son's idea. Like, this is his first big project. Graduating.
Here you go, Junior.
Dad, I got this great idea. Let's make the worst beer of all time. All right, son. Let's do it.
No, if Will Ferrell and Elf gave me this beer, I would throw it in his face.
What's funny is, so
I would take his spaghetti and chocolate syrup, because they're like, oh, he doesn't know any better. He's just got mounds of spaghetti and chocolate syrup because that's what he thinks food is. And they're like, good try. Thanks for packing my lunch. If this was the beer he gave along with it, I'd hit him over the head with it.
What's funny is, too, like, since first having this, somebody brought this over to a New Year's party. So this is literally here for like.
So it's aged.
This is four months old. Yeah, it's aged honey bourbon, bro. It's how you do it.
So are you still friends with that person?
Well, yeah, we see them occasionally. We don't ask them to bring any alcohol over, though.
Maybe. Oh my god. Maybe that is the genius behind this. Is you bring over the worst beer ever to somebody's house, and they're just like, yeah, you know what? Just don't bring anything.
You can just bring yourself. We love your company.
Yeah. This comes in a variety pack, by the way.
You can't buy a six pack of this horse shit.
There's a reason.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, I've looked for
my,
it,
my best friend did bring me and my roommate this for Christmas, you know, because we're having people for dinner. She thought it'd be nice. And this does sound like a great beer. It's a great name. Because I was expecting maybe, like, a nice Hefeweizen beer with a hint of a honey whiskey type or honey bourbon and not piss and golden grapes.
You know what I'm starting to think of now? It almost tastes like someone filled a beer bottle with, like, a couple shots of bourbon.
Yeah.
And then proceeded to spit in it with chewing tobacco. For, like, you know...
Honey chewing tobacco.
Yeah, like, honey-flavored chewing tobacco for, like, the next few hours. And then filled it up to the top. And then put a fucking cap on it and gives it to you. Cheers.
Here you are. Your what shitty shot top. Yeah, if we don't... You guys can have it all.
So,
you guys fucking have it all.
I'm just going to say here, Shot Top's never going to be one of the sponsors of Pop Not Soda.
Who gives
and
a shit?
I'm kind of happy about it. Just fuck you, Shot Top.
Don't do these beers anymore. In fact, find another hobby.
You know what I would love, actually, and I would be a fan of Shock Top for life, if they just sent us, like, a case of this beer. If by some, you know, wild...
Just the chaos stars aligned.
Yeah, exactly. The universe aligns, and somehow someone from Shock Top hears this podcast, finds our this address somehow, and there's a fucking case here next week. Cheers, Shock Top.
Yeah, a middle finger pops up out of it.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Enjoy it, motherfuckers.
I would not drink that. I'm sorry. Because you don't know what's in it then.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
They could actually take our suggestions, make those beers.
Oh, that's
piss
true.
And golden
piss
grams,
and golden grams.
And chewing tobacco and bourbon. Ooh. Which would probably taste better than this beer.
Yeah. Or it tastes the same and fool us.
Right.
All right, guys. Well, I'm just going to try and finish this. But how was your week? How was your weekend?
I was good. I had a big day this week.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
March
31st? The foolish day.
Oh.
Yes.
The foolish day. Did you guys do anything for
April
that?
Fools. The day of fools.
I was completely safe that day, which I usually get fucked with. Like, every year. Do you get anything, Dan?
I just think you haven't found out what happened yet.
So. I know. There's probably, like, a dead rat in my drawer. I'll find a smell in, like, a week or something like that. Nothing happened to you, though?
No, I escaped. We thought about pranking one of my roommates because he was the last one home last night. But then we remembered that he has a gun in his room.
And it's April 2nd.
And he's pulled it on me before. So I tried to scare him once, and I hit him in the kitchen because he left the front door open. And all of a sudden, he goes to his room, all I hear is, ch-ch-ch. And I just watch out of the kitchen with my hands up, like, don't shoot. So we don't prank him anymore.
Yeah, you probably want to avoid the crazy guy with the gun. Especially the good rule of thumb.
The crazy roommate with the gun.
Yeah.
You do anything,
Brian? Yeah, I fucking got my boss so good. It was...
Oh, no shit?
Unbelievable. The only thing I was afraid of is like, he was going to rap me out to, like, senior management, and I was gonna be fucked.
Which is the best prank.
Right. Which is the best prank of all. The best prank would be him being, oh, I sent it to, you know, our fucking senior VP. Pack your shit.
Yeah.
So, me and four other coworkers who all work under my manager all decided to call in sick, you know, per se, in some sort of way. You know, yesterday on April 1st. But we planned it out in the morning where it would be at different intervals. So, like, we all didn't text him at once. And, you know, he gets, like, four text messages at the same time. They can figure it out. So we did it throughout the day. We used different excuses. Me, though, I made up an excuse that, like, I went out the night before and just got obliterated. And, like, I was just hungover and couldn't come in, right? So we all knew as well that he had an early morning meeting, so that he's going to be getting these text messages while he's, like, sitting
in
a meeting.
Oh.
And so we actually, like, get to work, and he doesn't come back until, like, 9 a.m. So we're in there, you know, doing our thing. And he sends this email out to all of us. Just, like, the most angry email ever. Like, I can't believe... one guy called in sick, so, you know, he was off.
Yeah.
But me, I said I was, you know, fucking blacked out drunk the night before. And then this other girl, I forget, like, she came up with some stupid horseshit excuse, too. So he, like, blasts us in this email. Like, I can't believe you two are so irresponsible. Like, what are you doing on a Tuesday? Like, you know.
Club was going up on a Tuesday.
Yeah, and I wanted to respond with Drake's song. It would have been perfect. But he, you know, he's a little older. He wouldn't have appreciated it. So, yeah, sends us fucking emails, just blasts us. And so at that point, I send him a selfie with, like, all of us in the office, April Fools, and he responds back, he's like, you guys are shitheads. You got me so good. And then when he walks into the office, we just, you know, give him a fucking standing ovation, and he's like, you fuckers. It was the first, he said it was the first time he's ever
gotten on
April Fool's Day.
That's a good fucking prank, then.
Also, yeah. The only thing I saw at work, Brett, was a couple of people on the floor below us saran wrapped an associate vice provost's office completely.
Oh.
So much so that he had to use a cube because nothing in his office was usable.
Wow. That'll happen.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
It was heavy duty saran wrap. You couldn't get into the room, really.
And then he sent them emails, you're all fired. They're like, oh, that's so funny. No, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Pack your shit.
I'm allergic to saran wrap. Could you imagine if that happened? Like the one part of your prank is like the thing that actually fucking ends up killing your boss or something, and you're like,
yeah. That sounds like a really bad movie plot from like 1997.
Like Very Bad Things too. That's what it could be. Very Bad Things.
Is that what happens in Very Bad Things?
No, I mean, they kill a hooker. I think
feel like it's like Jawbreaker, where, like, you guys ever seen Jawbreaker?
Oh, yeah, it is kind of like that.
It's
yeah.
like Jawbreaker.
Yeah, the accidental.
First off, how do those bitches think that's a good idea? Like, nothing bad is going to happen.
You're asking.
Duct taping a fucking giant.
Jawbreaker.
Hence the title of the movie. In someone's mouth.
Don't spoil it for anybody,
maybe,
Brian.
Maybe they thought that alert. Her mouth wasn't big enough to swallow all of that.
Maybe you guys are talking about this too much because we're talking about a high school Rose McGowan.
Who went on some Marilyn Manson?
Right? Who was in the movie, wasn't he? I think he was in that movie.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure she was like 30 years old.
Yeah, playing a high schooler.
Yeah, 17-year-old.
Yeah. Really random fact, or really random question. Do you guys remember her outfit at the VMAs that one year?
Oh,
you mean
course.
The lack of?
Yeah, the lack of, yeah.
Of course.
Good for you, Rose McGowan. If you ever want to come on the show, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah.
Contact Brett at Nieces Pieces on Twitter.
Loved you in the Call of Duty DLC, too. So, anyway.
All right, but how was your weekend?
Mine was good, man. Allison's birthday was it? We
Allison is Brett's girlfriend, by the way.
Yes, yeah.
Rose just ignored that.
We celebrated her birthday. We went out to OB on Saturday. Brian joined us for a little bit with his girlfriend. And yeah, that was fun. We got a little schmamsy. Had my first pickle back that I've never had before.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
So describe for the listeners out there who don't know what a pickle back is.
So it is like magic. And if you need me to elaborate more, I will. It is basically you take a whiskey shot and you shoot it back with pickle juice. I guess there's variations of this or whatever. This one we had was basically a shot of whiskey and then a shot of pickle juice.
Yeah.
It's like dill pickle juice or whatever. But I'm not joking. As soon as you take that shot of whiskey and then you take that shot of pickle juice, you cannot taste a single bit of whiskey. And I've had people tell me like, oh yeah, it'll mask it before. And you're like, yeah, kind of. You're a fucking liar. But this one is like totally, it's like science. I would say it's like science,
bitch.
Yeah, it's like science, alcoholic science.
Yeah,
alcoholic. No, I completely agree.
Yeah,
it's maybe the best chaser out there if you like pickle juice. Because if you do not like pickle juice, then it's probably worse than the alcohol.
Yeah,
can't do it. I don't enjoy
so
savory or salty.
You have had it though.
I have.
Okay. Because I was going to say, we have pickle juice.
It does work.
We have pickle juice and whiskey here, Dan, if we need to get you a shot during the break.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get you that.
I'm okay tasting the actual alcohol. Okay.
But yeah, we did that on Saturday. On Sunday, We went out to brunch with her family, my mom, and then that was nice or whatever. Nice. Sunday evening, though, guess what we watched?
I'm assuming it was probably the same thing I watched.
Yes, it was. We were texting each other back and forth a little bit during it. Brian was over at my house, though, and we were watching WrestleMania 31!
Are we sure it's 31?
WrestleMania 31.
I know, I got a little confused before the podcast.
That's because you were talking to Scott Hall. You were talking to Razor Ramon.
Yep. I know.
Oh, hey, Razor's back.
Hey, Razor! Thanks for showing up.
You were in San Francisco last year? I mean, last weekend? I know. It was fun, wasn't it? The Yanks came out. Really fun, Chico.
Hey, yeah. Razor, you look great out there. You definitely didn't look like a bloated seal carcass with gray hair.
Hey, mate.
In an NWO shirt.
Hey, mate. Kevin Nash came out, mate, and he said, hey, you gotta look good too, mate. So I did, and I came out, mate, and yeah. It worked.
You know, Razor, again, thank you for being on the show, but I was very surprised that anyone could
look... Is this a beer, man? Can I have some?
You go right ahead. All right,
go, man.
Aren't you supposed to be sober?
Who, man?
I will say, I was very surprised that anyone could move worse than Hulk Hogan, but...
Oh, no, I beat him, man. I beat him bad, man. Yeah ain't nobody move worse than Razor Scott Hall, man.
You are the best at... having the worst arthritis. So, compliments,
it's,
sir.
It's in my back, man. Chewing on a toothpick for 40 years, man. Do it to your back, man.
Do you think you ever swallowed any of those toothpicks and they just made their way down there and got stuck?
Oh, yeah, I got one stuck in my thorax once, man. It's bad, man.
All right.
thanks for coming, Razor.
No, but we, yeah.
Oh,
so
Brett, you missed Razor.
Oh, what the fuck? Where was he?
Yeah, man, he should have taken a piss. He just left.
Brett always takes pisses at the most inopportune time.
Oh, yeah. Man, I missed him. Well,
he's
next
going
time,
to
Scott.
Senior yoga.
Was it Scott or Razor?
You know, he called himself Razor Scott Hall, so I don't think he knew.
Ooh, that's a mixture. He was drinking a little bit, wasn't he?
He may have had some of that beer.
Yeah. I
feel like Scott Hall would be the only person on Earth that would actually enjoy the shot top.
He can't. That's he has true. No taste buds anymore, I bet.
Right.
Yeah.
Crack will do that to you.
But hey, so back to WrestleMania, though. Was that not, guys, was that not one of the best sports entertainment pay-per-views of all time?
I would have to agree. I was thoroughly entertained. I am not a frequent viewer of wrestling events these days, so to be quite honest, that was probably the first wrestling pay-per-view I've seen in many a years. And it was awesome too because it was at the new stadium, up in the Bay,
and they sold it out.
It was during the day, so the sun was
7,000.
Yeah, set an attendance record. I know the stadium's only a year old, but they set an attendance record.
That's
Sunday.
With them blocking part of the stadium.
Right.
For the stage.
Right.
Yeah, which that stage was that. Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Although they did show shots of, like, the other side of the stadium from, like, the very top nosebleeds. And you couldn't see a thing. I can't believe people would pay to see that. Because even the big screen, you could barely make that out, you know?
It's worthless to get a ticket like that. I mean, you're just going there to, I think, see, like,
no, you're
see the freaks
the
or the experience or whatever to be around it, but
you got some binoculars.
Yeah, you're probably watching it on your phone
on the WWE network,
through the WWE
app, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, if the stadium's not free Wi-Fi, I'm down.
I'll tell you, for me personally, I'm afraid of heights too. And the whole time I was thinking, every time it went onto a shot of those guys up in the rafters or whatever, I was thinking, loud noises, San Francisco earthquakes. I would never fucking be that high in a goddamn stadium. But anyway, yeah.
Oh man, it was great.
Every single match was brilliant. Every single match.
The Divas.
Yeah, that, I guess that was.
I was expecting more. They had a great match on Monday. I don't know why they didn't have one on Sunday, but
well, we fortunately were able to miss that.
Yeah, we did actually.
Sorry, ladies.
Oh yeah.
Hashtag
it was,
no chance for Divas.
Yeah, that was not. Yeah, luckily we missed that, and we can't blame it on anything else, but it was shitty internet. Dodgy internet kind of crapped out, and unfortunately the next match started, and we completely missed that match.
Yeah, well, you got AT&T UVerse.
Yeah, but this was on the Apple TVs. I guess it's the internet is AT&T UVerse. Yeah, not the...
Step your shit up, AT&T.
Not the most reliable or whatever. But hey, on that note, though, WrestleMania, what do you think was your most favorite moment of that night? Highs, lows, things like that. What do you think was the most, like, your favorite thing you take away from that?
Gosh, good question. Man.
Me personally, I mean, I'll honestly say...
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, yeah. That was, I think that match, the one thing I wish, and it was so picky, it's so nitpicky to say, I wish it would have happened a little later at night where, like, the sun was going down to give it that, like, eerie feel, but that's such a nitpicky thing. But, dude, The Undertaker came back. He looked amazing.
He looked really good.
Yeah, he looked really, really healthy. And, like, Bray Wyatt is, without a doubt, one of the best wrestlers of this new generation that's coming out or whatever. And to see kind of the torch get passed. I mean, the torch didn't get passed. Taker beat the shit out of him, but...
Two tombstones will do that
to you. Yeah, two tombstones will do it to you. But, you know, to see the torch kind of go between the eerie guy of this generation and the eerie guy that's always been the for wrestling for however long we've been watching it or whatever, I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just laughing because I'm just thinking about Undertaker's face when he tombstoned him the first time and pinned him and he kicked out and he had that the total shock and disbelief.
The Shawn Michaels.
I've seen that face before. You know where that face is from? It's from the Life Alert commercials when they fall.
Oh, and they can't
they can't get up.
Yeah.
That was the oh God, what am I gonna do?
It was a great match.
It was a great match. I mean, I'm just gonna go to the main event, and it wasn't even the very end when Seth Rollins came in, which was really cool. But it was just Brock Lesnar throwing around Roman Reigns like he was a fucking rag doll. I mean, you're talking about a man. Who, and I'm talking about Roman Reigns, who weighs 265 pounds with all that shit that he wears, probably closer to 275, 280. And Brock Lesnar is just suplexing him like...
Suplex City, bitch.
Suplex City, bitch! I mean, I think he hit him with like at least 15 suplexes, maybe more.
I think the count got to 10.
10.
Because there was a guy in the stands... with a suplex counter.
It was way more than 10.
It had to be more than 10.
Way more than 10.
Because he was tossing him around like
every... Yeah, and then they
were variations of the suplex.
And then they went out of the ring and then came back in and then he was suplexing him again.
Yeah.
All I know is he suplexed John Cena 16 times and it didn't break that.
Okay. Mm. 15 times.
Yeah, it was a lot, whatever it was.
The record right now is... what's his name? Eric Young from like TNA. Kurt Angle suplexed him like 20 times in a match, or like 22 times.
God, jeez, man. The funniest thing is too is like you see somebody's strength like that, and then you see somebody that like legitimately is so old and cannot wrestle anymore, wins the Andre the Giant Battle Royale, and at the end he can't even lift up the fucking trophy, like the Big Show. That was somebody where I was just like, my God, man, like. Well, you're weak. I mean, I understand you've been tossing people out. You've been wrestling. You wrestled probably, what was it, like a 30-minute match or whatever. But you can't lift up a fucking trophy? Like,
I think they want that, though, because he's going to retire pretty damn soon.
Hopefully.
He's the second greatest giant.
I don't know. Career overall,
dude, if you look at his career, I mean, maybe not in the past 5 years, but before that.
Big Show!
It's just that fan.
Remember Kevin Nash.
Oh, Kevin Nash every single day.
It's a little different because Kevin Nash was a little just thinner.
Well, he was like the cooler, like...
And he's shorter.
Yeah, well, and he could work a mic
How
a lot
How much shorter,
better.
Though?
I don't
Kevin
think that
Nash
was shorter.
Kevin Nash is 7 foot. Big Show's 5'?
Oh.
Is he that big?
I don't know. But, I mean, the one thing, though, is like that form of wrestling, that big hulking guy... Like, Kevin Nash made it interesting. The Big Show is just this like, giant guy, and he's always been this giant guy that, like...
His goddamn name in WCW was Giant.
Yeah, but, I mean, he, like, he'll, like, one-handed fist somebody, which is the dumbest fucking move I've ever seen in wrestling.
Knockout punch?
I mean, it's like the leg drop. It's like Hogan's leg drop now, or, like, just something like that where you're just like, dude, you can't even wrestle. Plus, like, every time you come out... I really, really am legitimately concerned that your knees are just going to break out from under you. Because his legs are so damn tiny compared to how big his body, that upper half is, that, like, you could see those legs, like, it's like stacking, like, a cow on toothpicks.
He looks like Mr. Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know, what it is, yeah.
He looks like an egg with legs.
Oh, God, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it looks like his knees are just going to break at one time. That guy will... I mean, knock on wood, but hopefully he's not in a wheelchair. Hopefully he can walk for the rest of his life, because it's good.
Well, even if he didn't wrestle, just that, yeah, just his size alone. Like, people aren't supposed to be that big.
Age is going to be rough on that guy.
Plus, real quick, just to enter this into theme and story of WrestleMania, is I think they did that because then the Authority kind of wanted everything they wanted to win at.
That, yeah, I mean...
Big Show wins.
Triple H wins.
Yeah. Seth Lee's as champion.
Yeah.
That's 3 out of 4 boxes they needed to check.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that was what going forward was, especially Triple H and Stephanie talking about how they own everything and everyone.
Yeah.
And that everything is because of them. And then...
The Rock showed up.
The Rock came out.
That was so awesome.
He talked his shit. Like he always does, which is amazing.
He's so great on the mic.
But I hear you, but it's all ad-libbed.
Oh, so yeah.
Stephanie and Triple H are just as good because they have to keep up with him.
Sure.
Because I remember like when he was doing the Rock and Sock with Mick Foley around the turn of the century, that Mick Foley would tell these stories about if somebody was going to go out and work with them. You know, they'd be like, all right, so what are we doing with the promo? And Mick and Rock would be like, all right, well, this kind of like the direction... Just keep up with us, because they didn't write. They just would go off each other. Like nothing was ever scripted. It was all natural, and you can tell some people they like that. I think we all appreciate that, and miss that, especially from the characters they used to do it, like CM Punk. There's nobody left that really does that.
And everyone forgets too that Stephanie McMahon had the best joke of the night. Like the timing on that when The Rock came out and milked the audience for like. Literally like 5 minutes or whatever, and then she's like, "All right, we get it.
Yeah.
You're excited to see him."
Yeah.
Like it's just
shut
like,
up.
It was the best joke ever for that character. Like the timing of it, it was perfect. Like you said, like those guys have just as much talent as The Rock to rip off of him so well.
Yeah, I think that Stephanie is great to have with Triple H. It's great for professional wrestling that they are married. Because I think Triple H has a great head on his shoulders when it comes to development, like developing younger talent and how to do that. But Stephanie, her on-screen heel is probably way better than anyone.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like it's
getting comparable to Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, she's turning into Vince.
Yeah, and it's
facial reactions, like, everything.
Now she just needs the strut.
Yeah,
you know?
She has her own little strut, not with the arms, but more with like the fake boobs.
Yeah.
Just being out there.
Yeah.
She kind of owns her swagger. But when Ronda, we kind of called it when Stephanie slapped Rock. We're like, oh shit, Ronda's coming into the ring.
Yeah.
And not only did Ronda come into the ring, but wearing the Dragon Ball Z is over 9,000.
It's over 9,000! You can't be over 9,000!
There's so many fanboys.
Oh. Just jizz their pants.
Yeah. They had to...
So many pairs of sweatpants had to be changed.
What is the question, too, before she... Like, what is the Dragon Ball Z question? Is it... What's his power level? Or
yeah, so... Or... To reference this particular meme, the shirt that Ronda Rousey is wearing, going back to an old Dragon Ball Z episode where Vegeta first shows up on... Is it Earth? Are they on Earth in Dragon Ball?
I think they are on Earth, yeah.
Wherever Goku is. And I forget, like, the big bald dude that's with him who's also there. And so, you know, they got these, like, cool fucking monocle things that can gauge a person's power level, right? And so they're just like, you know, okay, looking at these people, all right, you know, fucking green guy, whatever his name is, he is this, and little fucking bald dude that always got his ass whooped. Always got his ass kicked.
Drunken old man?
No, the short little bald dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like the half man. Fucking Peter Dinklage with a shaved head. And then, yeah, they get to Goku. And they get to Goku, and Goku just keeps rising and rising. And Goku hits 9,000. And Vegeta can't believe that Goku's power is over 9,000 and just fucking loses his head and smashes the goddamn fancy schmancy monocle. And that's, and then he's forever ingrained in, you know, a meme lexicon. Yeah.
So she wore that shirt. And she proceeded to say that any ring she steps into is her ring. And Judo hip tossed Triple H.
Which was a great hip toss, by the way.
Who probably doubles her weight, at least.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rob at is least. Only like 130. Triple H has got to be at least 245. Because Triple H is all ass.
Man, she's fucking scary. Like, we were talking about it.
Yeah.
I honestly think she could beat maybe not the majority of guys, but like a quarter to a third of the guys in her weight class.
So this was the question when we saw her in the crowd before she went into the ring: is would you hook up with Ronda Rousey? And most of my friends' answers were like, "Yeah, I don't think you need to hook up. I think you just let her do what she wants."
You have no choice.
It goes back to like the Kevin Hart bit where like, or I think it's Cat Williams where the headboard gets moved on you, not the other way around, like it usually is. Like, she's just going to have her way, and you have no say.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be mad about it. Wouldn't be mad about it.
No.
Ronda Rousey.
She's a scary individual.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
Unless you run into her in a dark alley.
Right. No. No, thank you. Well, I mean, maybe, if it's like on the other end, you know? You're like, ooh, Ronda Rousey.
You're not a pizza man delivering...
Not that guy from sausage Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. No, not
that guy.
Not Big Sausage Pizza.
Well, my favorite moment, other than The Rock electrifying WrestleMania 31.
That's a porn reference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got that. Yeah, I totally got that.
It's a porn reference, guys.
Yeah.
Big Sausage Pizza. Look it up. Classic.
Ronda has no money. So how is she going to pay? Well, why, bitch, are you ordering money or ordering pizza if you have
no money? Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
It was the RKO out of nowhere.
Oh, God. Curb
stomp counter that was magically pulled off by Seth Rollins and Randy Orton. And that match was a pretty decent match. Like, it could have been on Raw. Like, he was kind of on the same kind of stuff.
Seth, but you have to keep in mind, too. Well, I guess, you know, Seth Rollins didn't really do anything at, you know, the main event.
Yeah.
But, you know, Brett and I were talking and saying, like, oh, it's probably on the shorter side because he's going to have to wrestle somebody else at the end of the night.
I think,
you know?
Also, they just didn't want to make... They kind of wanted to bury him a little bit, so it was more surprising that he was cashing in.
Yeah.
Not... I thought they would have done all over the top with him, but I guess the bury was where they went. But, you know, Randy Orton not only just double DDTs, which was awesome, J&J Security, hits two back-to-back RKOs on them. But the first RKO on Seth Rollins was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was great.
Looked really good.
Yep.
And I don't know how they thought of this, but if you haven't seen it, please look it up. And there's a ton of slow-motion GIFs on it, too, where Seth Rollins goes for his curb stomp, where he either puts his foot on the back of the opponent's head or shoulder and appears to slam it into the mat. So when he does this with his right leg, Randy Orton, with all of his strength, lifts up to kind of launch him. So he gets in the air high enough for Randy Orton in one motion launch him, spin around, and catch him in an RKO on the way down. And it's not like Randy Orton set him up, saw where Seth Rollins was, and then adjusted and caught him. It's all one clean fluid motion.
Yeah. Well, you have to give credit where credit's due to Seth Rollins as well. Oh, because he's doing his fucking he's doing
acrobatics.
An 8-foot backflip into a full layout.
And so, with a average or better than average match, that one moment I think is the one moment that just sticks with everybody. That the crowd lost its shit when that happened.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. I think we rerounded quite
a few times. I will say, the most cringe-worthy was my other favorite ex-member of the Shield, Dean Ambrose, being powerbombed from the ring.
So I was gonna ask, was there an update on him? Like, he legitimately got hurt. Oh, he was fine.
Oh, no
concussion.
No way.
Oh, I thought he legitimately got hurt.
No, because he on the Raw after. Challenged Cena for the U.S. Championship. Oh, they had like a solid 20-minute match, which could have been one of the better matches on the card in WrestleMania.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, wherever John Cena has gone to, like, I know people hate him, but you got to respect that he puts performances, like, especially against great stars.
Always can't hit on the jorts. Always good.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah.
Can't hit on the jorts.
I'm just saying, like, they had a great match. Dean Ambrose kicked out of an attitude adjustment. Which nobody saw that coming. So, because, you know, like, it's like pay-per-views, you get a little special adrenaline.
Right.
But not on a regular match. Yeah, nobody could believe that. But,
Who powerbombed Dean Ambrose? I'm trying to remember again.
Harper.
That's who it was. Ooh. Who's that already big, brutal as shit. Right? Yeah. That's one person where we were talking about it earlier before we started recording. Brock Lesnar, Luke Harper, there's certain people in wrestling where if you put me on the slip with them, I would be like, "Ah, no, I'll probably chalk it up." How's the announcing gig looking tonight? Like, how's Jerry Lawler's position looking? Yeah, can I maybe not shoe
safe.
In for him?
Not safe.
No, not at all.
If you've seen Raw this past week, not safe.
No. Oh yeah,
but that's true.
I think another great moment in that ladder match was the bullhammer elbows thrown by.
Oh, he was knocking fools.
Where when he hit Stardust. Stardust just goes out against the ropes. My friends who are watching who don't watch wrestling love that moment where he just got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah. Well, he knocked someone off as they were coming off the ladder.
That'd be
he?
Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. Right.
Which Dolph Ziggler's going to sell anything. So.
Yeah.
I did think that there was going to be a little Daniel Bryan Dolph Ziggler rivalry moving forward, and it looks like they may head that way. With that epic Ziggler headbutt battle at the top of the ladder.
Yeah,
that was a little over the top. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, the thing that I think they want to exploit is that they're focusing on these two guys who have kind of hovered around the mid-card, have had opportunities to jump off, but because of injury haven't stayed there. Daniel Bryan captured the World Heavyweight Championship and then had to give it up because of a neck injury. Same thing with Ziggler the year before, finally cashed in, became World Heavyweight Champion, then got a bad concussion and had to give it up. So they are really moving forward, playing on those old injuries. Hence the headbutts and why Dolph Ziggler would lose. It does look a little ridiculous, but suspend the belief a little bit.
The one thing I thought was kind of bullshit is, like, as much as I love the match with Sting and Triple H, I think you could totally tell that it was Triple H's kind of friend service to his old clique members to, like, have them out. Because, like, you know that Nash and Triple H are, like, the shit together. Like, they toured the road back together and stuff like that. So they're best buddies and stuff like that. So it was almost like, as much as I like seeing this, how much of this is just Triple H just kind of giving some back to these guys that really shouldn't fucking be a part of a main event anymore?
If it says anything, all of those guys involved in that match all started in WWE except for Sting.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I mean, I get it too, where it's like, you know, this is the part of the Attitude Era. These are the two Attitude cliques that we're kind of rivaling to. Let's have them on the... Like, I get the fan service of it or whatever, but it was just... Yeah, it was like awkward to see because you're like, all right, man, I know that Triple H is like best buddies with Kevin Nash. Like, this is just...
Yeah,
a little fucking
say,
weird to see.
Like, I will say, when that NWO music hit, I got a little juice. Everybody got juiced.
Oh, that was the bomb, man. I think that was better than the DX stuff, because I don't think they worked the cue right on the DX music, because you could hardly hear it when it first happened. And then the announcers started making a big deal about it, and then you're like, oh, shit.
And plus, Billy Gunn's sprint.
The camera guy couldn't even keep up with Billy Gunn.
Billy Gunn may have been the best man in shape at WrestleMania. Like,
oh my god, man.
I will say, I did love, of course, HBK.
Coming
one of my all-time faves, just dropping that sweet shit music. And then giving what I think is the best suck it performance. I think he's got the
best one.
The best technique.
Remember,
it's just so clean.
He's a man of God. But he can still say
suck it. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I love Sean. And Sean, over the years, is always one of the most interesting characters because he's not a babyface. Because he does the shittiest things to people.
Yeah.
But you can't.
The fans not love him.
Yeah.
Wait, fans I was ready for Sting.
HBK.
I was ready for Sting that entire match. But then when Sean kicked his face off, I was like, all right, that's fucking cool.
All right, cool. It can go to Triple H.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels. I mean, I can't do that.
Yeah, the one thing that I think the fakest point of the entire night was when Sting hit Triple H's sledgehammer, and it split.
Oh, he broke it.
That was so stupid.
The Play-Doh sledgehammer. Yeah.
Well, that whole match was kind of filled with some bullshit too. Like the entrance with Triple H and the Terminator.
That was kind of badass though.
Okay, this is where I went with it, is it was so ridiculous that I got past the point of ridiculousness where I was like, all right, I'm kind of back into this now. But, like, it was a real, like, kind of struggle for me to go, like, do I like this or not? And then I just kind of was like, I'm watching a fucking professional wrestling event. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta
The one part that I could have done without was, like, the view, like, searching for Target.
Yeah,
that was just
the shameless Terminator plug.
If it was just him coming up in that gear, which looked sick as hell, that would have been cool. I liked Sting's, though. It was very sick.
Oh, yeah, with the
orchestra,
the guy,
minimalist, and just edgy.
Yeah.
Like, just the best way to describe Sting is edgy.
The funniest part about the Triple H thing, the entrance, was, did you see those two guys that gave him the skull? Like,
yeah.
Like, the skulls, and then it was, like, 2 seconds later, he's like, fuck these!
Yeah.
All right. And you're like, it's like, what? Like, how useless of that? Yeah.
Well, they just wanted him to hold it so he could
flex and,
right,
yeah,
and get all that shit out. But
go ahead, Ray.
I was just going to say, I mean, that line The Rock threw him when they're in the ring, and he's like, so we got two options. You can either stay in here and get your ass beat, or you can go walk back there and put that Terminator suit back on.
Oh,
I just can't believe that they can keep a straight face.
Oh, no, Triple H laughed at some shit that the Rots of the Stephanie.
You could tell he was kind of breaking character.
Turn around,
breaking a little bit.
But this gets me excited.
It was just
because,
so good. It was so good.
The Rock, oh god.
There's some possibilities that are coming out of WrestleMania 31, such as Sting versus Undertaker.
Ooh,
that'll happen. I definitely think that'll happen.
Retirement match for both.
Yeah.
That there's, again, The Rock versus Triple H.
Yep.
And it would be a battle for the company.
No.
And Vince McMahon would be represented by Triple H, or by The Rock.
Do you think that there's any chance that Sting will come back to old school Sting? Where he's,
you mean
the
color face,
yeah, the color face paint, the spike,
shit. Yeah,
no, okay, too old for that shit.
Yeah, and I think the character that it has evolved into, he can't go back to the first character, like,
yeah,
and that was a different era of wrestling too. That was
the vitamins and heroes.
I will say this, that I think the production value of the whole presentation was really good.
Oh yeah,
I think they do a phenomenal job of, you know, cutting those promos before the match starts to really get you engaged in it. And you are kind of reminded, like, how good these guys are at what they do. Because, you know, looking back at when they're doing Sting and Triple H, I mean, Sting is just so fucking good on the mic. He's just, like, so powerful and charismatic.
Like, he's got
like
a presence.
Right. And, you know, hard to turn away from. And then, you know, Triple H is just great at being who he is.
The funniest thing about Triple H is that his original character was the fucking
Hunter Hearst
Helmsley.
The blue blood.
The very proper...
I think he was Terror something in WCW.
Okay,
but yeah, before that. Yeah, it was like Paul Terror
or
something.
He was the entitled douche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now his character is still the entitled douche. Just
with a haircut
jacket,
and a goatee.
Not, a riding crop.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
not looking like Brad Pitt in Interview with the Vampire.
No, not at all. But, I mean, man, I think some other things coming through, like I said, maybe Rock versus Triple H, Stephanie in Triple H's corner, Ronda Rousey in The Rock's corner, which would be fun to see. I'm just excited for the young talent. Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan. It seems that's where... In like 98, 99, 2000, every match had somebody that wasn't just like a jobber, but over with the crowd, had a character, and could back it up in the ring where you could sit down and somehow watch, 4 hours of wrestling?
Yeah.
And be thoroughly entertained.
Yeah, yeah. The whole time
and
there was a boring section.
I think it's been kind of shallow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick question for you before we go into the break. When are they going to show Prince Devitt on... Mm.
Finn Balor?
Yeah. Have you seen Finn Balor?
My favorite NXT.
This guy is incredible, and I think they're just milking him in NXT as much as possible.
Oh, yeah.
To get more fanfare to see this guy perform, but my God, this guy's incredible. What do you think of him?
For anyone who hasn't seen Finn Balor, YouTube, Prince Devitt, or look on the app and look up Finn Balor. He is, if you've ever seen it, he's known for wearing the face paint, where it's like a demon mixed with Spider-Man, kind of like just all over. Instead of wearing a mask, he's got these great artistic face paints.
Which he's going to have to shed now that he's on syndicated, branded television.
So what they do is, he doesn't wear it all the time.
Yeah.
Because they still want to see his face. What he says is that he only does it when he needs to bring the demon out. So he'll do it for huge matches, like a pay-per-view here or there. Where he'll come out with, just this, great, big, you have to see it, look it up, I can't describe it and do it any justice. But he has been wrestling in Japan, that's where he made his name, for a few years, and he's finally come back over. And he didn't, in the developmental part of NXT, hasn't been there. I think he wrestled maybe a month with what's his name?
I don't know.
One of the other wrestlers from Japan. As a tag team, and then went straight to the number one contender.
Yeah.
And he just last week had a championship match against Kevin Owens, who's another huge guy from the independent circuit that they signed. He lost, but it was, again, one of the best 20-minute matches I've seen in years.
So when will we see him in a pay-per-view?
I don't know, because if you look at
a year?
Adrian Neville, just got called up to the main roster on Monday as Neville. And he has been over with NXT for... over a year and a half. He had the longest title reign. It took them a while. Because what they did is they used him to then put over more NXT talent before he left.
Yeah, and I heard Adrian Neville was a part of the Battle Royale on Sunday, and then they switched him out for the Asian guy because of the Hall of Fame thing or whatever. But anyway, that's cited.
But I would love to see, he could go now. He's so talented. His character's so good, and everything about him is so good that he can go now, but I think they still just want to leave him and let him simmer with the fans. And right now, it's just not the time because, again, there is a little bit of a crowded card almost.
Yeah.
So, I would love to see it, but maybe...
Over under a year.
Under a year, I think it would be great if he made a debut around, Survivor Series in some way.
Okay. Brian, you don't know this guy? When do you think he'll come?
I'm going to go over.
Over a year. All right.
Can you $1 me?
Oh, $1, yeah. Yeah, I'll say over too.
That's not $1, but...
Well, we'll take it into the break. We got a couple ads to plug, and not Shock Top, though.
Yeah, fuck Shock Top.
Fuck you, Shock Top.
But we'll see you on the flip side.
Wait, is Razor still here?
With our Razor! Second half. Brian's... Yeah. I think he's in the bathroom. But we'll get Brian's movie reviews. We're going to talk about a few things. John Stewart's replacement, Brian's movie reviews, a new app that I don't know what the hell it's about. And yeah, we'll see you back on the flip side.
Hey, what is this shit? Hey, you ain't got no ads this week, mate? Aw, mate. Let me play something, mate. Hey, we here with Scott Hall Tupac, mate. Not Tupac. Tupac, mate. Can't even talk right, mate. Too many drinks. Anyway, Scott Hall got the best toothpicks around, mate. You can catch me in Dade County in Florida or in Bakersfield in California. We got two stores. Hey, check out Scott Hall Toothpick. Chico. That music sucked, man. Fucking sucked, man.
Sexy motherfucking saxophone. Alright, y'all. It's time once again. So, put down that blueberry strudel. It's so good. So flaky and buttery. Melts in your mouth. But yeah, put it down. Because it's time to listen to some motherfucking movie reviews.
Brian, you ever thought about being a baker?
A baker? No, but... never too late.
It's the way you describe pastries.
Or even an ad campaign for a bakery. I think you could be good for that one, too.
Yeah, Betty Crocker. Betty, hit me on the celly. Let's talk shop. All right, so yeah, once again, we're here for Brian's employed movie reviews. This week, going to be talking about one... modern remake of an older classic. This film is entitled RoboCop.
Oh,
or maybe it's
RoboCop.
RoboCop. And then I'm also going to be talking about The Interview, which had a lot of fervor surrounding it around Christmas time.
Sizzle.
So you're talking about one movie that was banned and one that should have been.
Yes. Exactly. My sentiments exactly. So let's start with The Interview. I recently rewatched this particular film. I did, of course, have to watch it with the rest of the real Americans when it dropped on... Google Play.
Bam!
I think that was it at first, and then eventually iTunes.
Oh, no, I watched it on Reddit on Christmas Day for free.
Did you really? Mm. Oh, no, I think I bought it from the website, too.
Oh, I bought
it. Yeah.
Because I'm a real American.
That's
Dan.
What it fucking does, man. If I could have bought it from Walmart, I would have, yeah. Too. The Walmart website directly.
We dread Pirate Roberts over here. There's a reason that kids are locked up in jail. So, The Interview. The Interview, if you don't know, is a movie about Kim Jong-un, the current ruler, dictator of North Korea. So, it's obviously a fictional movie, but based on current political tensions between the U.S. and North Korea.
And a real fucking crazy person.
And a real crazy person, correct.
So, James Franco?
Yes, James Franco. Actually, Eminem, because Eminem's in the movie.
Best part of the whole movie, by the way. If the best part was to get Eminem to joke about being gay. I'm sorry, like...
That was funny. Yeah,
that was
yeah,
funny. Yeah, so, yeah. Dan ruined probably the best joke in the movie.
It's been out since Christmas.
That's true. Yeah. If you haven't seen The Interview by now, you don't deserve to not have it spoiled for you. So, I thought this movie was okay. I didn't necessarily have high expectations for it. And, you know, it kind of got thrown into the limelight because it was banned in you know, created all this chitter-chatter between North Korea and the U.S., even though I feel like nobody in North Korea could really watch the movie even if they wanted to. Yeah, I think Dan's holding up four people.
Four people. They had, like, sources of, like, four computers in North Korea that streamed the movie, like, the first week.
Like, the Korean Edward Snowden is watching.
Right, exactly. It's the four Americans that are in North Korea are streaming the movie. But, I mean, I will say this. Like, I definitely appreciate how people can take it as a slap in the face to North Koreans, because they do not pull punches. they definitely get after it, which is kind of funny to me to think back about Team America and how they just completely, I mean...
basically did the same thing.
Right.
What worse?
The difference between that movie and this movie is that they were fucking puppets.
That's exactly it.
Yep. You know? And it was also about Kim Jong-il? Kim Jong-un's father.
Kim Jong was ill at that time, and I think he died right. a couple years later. So, yeah, it's the Un now.
Right.
There's only one, Un.
So, quick synopsis of the movie. James Franco plays a, like, a fucking hack interviewer, just gossip TV. Seth Rogen is program manager. Yeah, he plays like the real life Mario Lopez. Like, kind of a douche, but, you know, people still kind of like him. Not to say that Mario Lopez is a douche. AC Slater all day long.
Pink t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it takes pink a real...
pink tops. What am I talking about?
It takes a real man to wear a leotard and do some fucking ballerina shit in the Max. That's all I'm saying.
And to do it 20 years later again on Jimmy Fallon's
right, show. Which was pretty fucking awesome. So anyway, the plot of the movie is that, like, James Franco is this fucking famous interviewer, but, you know, kind of a hack, and Kim Jong-un, for whatever reason, is just a really big fan of his, so he selects James Franco's character to do this one-off exclusive interview. In the process, they meet up with the CIA, because the CIA wants James Franco to assassinate Kim Jong-un. They end up going to North Korea. Hilarity ensues.
Hijinks.
Hijinks. There are hijinks.
Okay.
And
lots and lots of Katy Perry.
Lots of Katy Perry. You will definitely listen to Katy Perry differently after watching this movie. That's for sure. And, I mean, in rewatching it, At first when I watched it, I was just kind of caught up in like everything that was going on. So I think liked it a lot more than after rewatching it. Because the second time I watched it, I was just watching it as a movie and not as this, you know, like bigger than entertainment festival of horseshit that was, you know, flying around social media and everything that was happening. So just from like a movie standpoint, they could have made it so much better. Like, the thing about Team America that I think was really successful is they just went over the top with it. Just completely past the line. Like, they went to the line, took out their fucking three wood, and just let the big dog eat.
Matt Damon.
Yeah, I mean, they just crushed Matt Damon, crushed Alec Baldwin. Kim Jong-il, obviously, they just destroyed. And, you know, a whole bunch of other celebrities. And in the interview, you know, they're really the only person that they do that with are, like, you know, the celebrities that are nice enough to show up while James Franco is interviewing him. But with Kim Jong-un. The actor who plays Kim Jong-un, probably the highlight of the movie. He's really good. Yeah. But even his character, like, they could have made it better. Like, I feel like they couldn't figure out if they were doing a Saturday Night Live sketch or if they were doing, like, a really poignant,
like, intellectual comedy. Satire.
Right, exactly. I don't think that James Franco and Seth Rogen, well, really, Seth Rogen and his writing partner are on the same level as, you know, South Park guys, Matt Parker and Trey Stone.
Yeah, I would.
So I think they just missed the boat a little bit. But in also saying that, I don't think they tried to make a political commentary. They just tried to. They just made a stupid movie that they thought was funny, and you know, got a bunch of their friends to make it, and it just turned into this larger than life
shitstorm right,
production. But I still think it's worth seeing. You know, I love those guys, James Franco, Seth Rogen. But this particular movie, I don't think was one of their, you know, their best.
You know why I think that is? Is because all the other movies that they're in together where they have that romantic, dysfunctional relationship, what not carries the movie but adds depth is the cameos by all their other comedian actor friends. And this is the one movie where they didn't have that because they couldn't. It wouldn't make sense. Because if you look at, like, This is the End, it's basically the same type of thing. They're not trying to make some, you know, intellectual set, like, satire about the end of the world or Christianity or anything like that. It's just generally Seth Rogen and James Franco and a bunch of their friends at the end of the world. Like, that's how their movies go. Pineapple Express is the same thing, but
right.
the cameos and who's going to show up kind of help facilitate their comedy a lot better. And in this one, you had like three supporting actors, like Lily Caplan, is that her name?
Right,
Lizzie Caplan, yeah,
from like Mean Girls, who was great.
She's and so then hot too.
Janice Ian,
Honeypot.
Yep.
The guy that played Kim Jong Un, who is a fantastic actor, and then his like one lieutenant woman that hooks up with Seth Rogen.
Yeah, right.
So other than that, it was a movie about five people, really.
Yeah,
and that's tough to do. To carry that much weight with only five main characters.
Now, when you guys watched it, did you guys feel too? Because I only saw it once, but I mean, I had to see it right when it came out too. But did you guys feel at all that James Franco's scenes in that movie just went like a little too long? Like they either let him off the leash a little too far because he was really improvising scenes that it was like, dude, this isn't funny. Like. I mean, like, I could see, like, teenagers laughing at this shit because, you know, they like James Franco and they don't even care what he's actually saying. And if he makes a goofy face, you know, it's funny or whatever. But, like, there was a lot of scenes in that movie where I was just like, are you keeping him going? Like, really? What's going on? Cut the scene. Like, cut it so that we can go to something else because I don't want to see him spitballing three jokes at Seth Rogen and then transferring it over to another scene. Like,
right. I actually think the opposite. I think that his character was good in that way because he was supposed to just be like a bumbling,
like this idiot
simpleton.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Who just somehow is famous through, you know, luck and...
So it was a well-acted part.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You think that this guy really can't be that dumb and that successful.
Yeah.
And then he proves you wrong.
Right. I think that there was too much Seth Rogen in the movie.
As like the chain to the ball. Like,
yeah just like the chain, comic relief. You know, the whole scene. The scene where like he goes out to retrieve the other poison thing. And like the shit with the tiger.
Super, yeah.
And then, his love interest, who is the one of the... you know, main cogs of the North Korean military, and she all of a sudden falls in love with Seth Rogen. Like, of all fucking people, give me a break.
I honestly just want to see a movie that they make moving forward where James Franco isn't the one that's unconditionally in love with Seth Rogen.
Right.
Because that's Pineapple Express, that's This is the End now, The Interview.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, do it the other way around and make Seth Rogen the one that's obsessed with James Franco.
That would be a good, a good change of roles.
It may be that way in real life, so Seth just imagines if it was reversed in his movies, and that's how he writes
it. What they should really do is they should do like a their next movie should be like a Paul Thomas Anderson, like minimal dialogue, well cinematography, no comedy, well directed thing where people are like, what the fuck is happening? Like,
I will say, I really did like the cinematography in the movie.
It was good.
Like, that especially good. In North Korea. Because they did a really good job of just capturing, like, just the bleakness of the country, but also the magnitude of, like, the brainwashing of the people.
Yeah, like the artificialness too.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Fake fucking grocery store.
Yeah, right. Well, fake grocery store.
Yeah, but I mean, even before that happened, you kind of. There was something with the shots where you're right. Like, something's going on
here. It was just like, yeah, the theme of, yeah, like, how North Korea was framed.
Yeah.
Like, things just didn't feel right.
You almost felt like you were watching a propaganda
movie. Exactly.
Like, yeah, being an educated person.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so the interview, I'm giving it 3 paychecks out of 5. Good movie, entertaining, funny, you know, not politically insightful by any means, but you know, a good Seth Rogen and James Franco flick, just not one of their best. So yeah, 3 out of 5 paychecks there. Next movie we're going to be talking about, RoboCop.
I want to know
RoboCop. This,
okay.
RoboCop. So right off the bat, you're remaking one of the most like iconic action films, R-rated violent action films, into a PG movie. Like, right there, that just doesn't add up. So, just before you even press play, the equation is broken. So, they kind of do a little, you know, twist on the traditional story as well. So, instead of him getting, like, blasted in a drug house, he gets blown up at his home.
Like, not just blasted, like, mutilated in
yeah.
the first one. Like, just fucking
yeah,
mutilated.
Like, limbs blown off, fucking.
Foreman blew off them over his hand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, in the new RoboCop, car bomb, and, like, you know, burns all over his body, still loses his limbs. And
straight Anakin Skywalker.
It's just really, it's like, so Samuel L. Jackson's in it, and he plays, like, the Nancy Grace of the future. So he's just a total propaganda machine, you know, completely hell-bent on a certain agenda. And he has this, like, talk show that's, you know, watched by everyone around the world. Not even a talk show, it's just him talking. And his
it
whole...
It would be a Samuel L. Jackson talk show.
Yeah.
That's what it would be.
It would be that, except he would have no guests. It would just be him talking to himself.
What's with robotic motherfuckers on the streets?
Yeah, pretty much. So
I'm sick and tired of these motherfucking liberals in motherfucking Congress.
RoboCop. I don't give a shit. Get that motherfucker off the streets.
Man, he loves his fucking robots in this movie. So in this movie, he is just a big proponent of pushing for the robot agenda, so that there's drones, there's artificial policemen, you know, the argument that humans don't have to die to fight crime.
Okay.
Right? Then there's...
Let's get AI to solve it. Always a perfect
yeah,
solution.
Yeah, exactly. And then...
Wait, are we talking about Chappie, or are we talking about RoboCop?
Yeah, we're still talking about RoboCop. And then Birdman, a.k.a. Batman, a.k.a. Michael Keaton.
A.k.a. Beetlejuice.
A.k.a. Beetlejuice, a.k.a. whatever his name was, Multiplicity, times, you know, like 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton, also in the film, and he plays the CEO of the corporation that has the same name in this movie. I forget what the name of it is.
The one that are making the robots?
The ones that are making, you know, all the robots. Oh, okay. And then eventually make the fucking RoboCop suit. So, yeah, Michael Keaton plays the CEO, and obviously he wants to push through these contracts with the military so that they can produce all this shit. So what happens is there's this incident in the beginning where these fucking robots kill, like, a bunch of innocent people during this, like, revolt. And so there's this big political backlash, and a lot of these congressmen and political influencers are, like, backing down. So they need a shining beacon to promote the robotic agenda. So they, you know, grab
Murphy.
Alex Murphy, who just got blown up, put him in the robo suit, And, you know, he fights crime, does his thing. People love him. They push it through. Gary Oldman also in it.
What?
AKA yeah. Sirius Black, AKA Commissioner Gordon, AKA bad guy from
True Romance.
Book of Eli and True Romance and Air
Drexel.
Force One.
Drexel.
Yes. So all of those characters, as well as the most boring movie I've ever watched in my life, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. I can't even remember his character's name because I fucking fell asleep
10 times
through the movie. Yeah, Gary Oldman's in it. They try to put together this like cast and this like shitty story and corny special effects, and you know try and roll it out into a feature film. So you know it's fucking blasé at best. Again, it's a PG-13 movie with an R-rated plot, and for the most part, he just like fights other robots.
Oh, he's not even fighting like crime people.
Like he is, but you know, again, because it's PG-13, a lot easier to blast a robot's head off than to shoot a dude in the chest and show that.
Yeah, even the cool scene where he does go through a compound and like kills everybody. They kind of turn the lights off, and it's like thermo night vision, which is really cool.
Which, right.
But no RoboCop, like, gore or, like, over-the-top violence.
You know, that's one movie, too, back in the day. I think that and, like, Terminator 2, where those were, like, two movies back in the day where I'm like, what the fuck was wrong with my parents for letting me see that at, like, 7 years old? Because I remember, like, that being, like, my favorite movie back in the day, RoboCop. And then I think I saw it, like, 5 years ago and be like, this was the beginning of it? I never remember any of this happening, but yeah, I mean, let's just watch that one again.
Yeah, well, what they really should have done is just glossed up the original and re-released it, and it would have made so much more money, guaranteed. Because, yeah, I mean, to your point, people don't remember just how brutal that movie was.
And you see it as an adult, and you're like, fucking A.
Yeah, and you're like, holy shit, they don't make movies like this anymore. And they don't. It's so true. So yeah, RoboCop, I'm going to give it 2 paychecks out of 5. You know, don't waste your time, really. Unless you're like a really huge RoboCop fan. You know, I watched it because I was bored and wanted to see what, you know, how the remake was. And regret that decision.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see, I think also the cast was too big. Like, you had the guy that played Rorschach as, like, a
AI. Jackie Earl Haley was in it?
Yeah, right, I also forgot he was
AI enforcer.
Right.
You had, what's his face? Was it Omar from The Wires, his partner?
Oh, that's right, Omar was in it, too.
Like, it's a great cast.
Yeah.
But you never get the character development out of anybody.
Did they all sign on for a different movie and then, like, realize that the last, like, they flipped the script?
If you made, like, a 4-hour rated R movie, it's probably the best.
Yeah, if they made, like, if they made that, like, 2.5 hours, made it rated R, you know, retooled the script, took Samuel Jackson out of it.
I like Samuel Jackson in it. I thought it was because the one thing that RoboCop, the original, doesn't have is that, like, really underlying theme. There's no, like, what you're watching, is it wrong? It's just RoboCop.
Yeah.
Kills bad guys. That's...
Yeah, it was just a very simple
black and white
equation.
Yeah,
right.
It was black and white. Does this one have the spice shit in it that's in the old ones? Do you remember that? Like, the stuff that they're injecting and doing the drugs?
No.
Okay. It was more like, they were moving, you know, like, standard cocaine and weapons and shit.
Is there a kid that's a bad guy that's killing people or anything? Nothing like that?
Yeah. That's another thing.
Who was the villain?
No, that was the second one. That was the second RoboCop I'm getting confused with the first
second
one. There was
RoboCop
a kid.
The one with the spice.
Yeah. Well, speaking of kids, in this RoboCop, his family, like, so he, like, interacts with his family.
What?
Right. Which is really weird.
This is... Yeah. They kind of let him keep his consciousness. So he's not like a RoboCop until they determine that he's not acting quick enough.
Right. Until Gary Oldman turns up the Robo juice.
Yeah. Oh, so Michael Keenan
Rorschach, they're like, no, take away all his emotions.
Yeah.
So that's also kind
of... Crank up the robo juice.
Yeah, the robo juice.
Turn up that robo meter to 11 out of 10.
Crank that shit up.
I will say, though, the black suit was kind of cool.
Yeah.
He's silver. He's silver.
That's what you know.
What I really wish they would have done is change the suit. I mean, they do. They definitely do alter the suit. But the glaring, obvious, giant Achilles heel of RoboCop is you just shoot him in the fucking chin and he's done.
Just that.
He's got literally every other part of his body protected in metal composite and carbon alloy, and then his fucking stupid gaping mouth is sticking open.
His helmet would protect you from a bullet as much as a hockey helmet would.
Exactly.
That's exactly how much of the face it covers.
God.
I mean, it would have been...
I almost want to see it now just to see if he's potentially going to get his brains blown out halfway through the movie.
He just fucked up a little bit. I will say
no,
that.
No, what am I talking about? I don't want to see that piece of shit movie.
Yeah.
I mean...
If you envelopes? Fuck no. I've set my bar at least 3 envelopes now. It's 2000 paychecks. Sorry. Paychecks don't come in envelopes anymore. Fuck.
It's all direct deposit.
I'm still WrestleMania 30 right now.
Welcome to the future.
Yeah, come on.
Welcome to the future, Ethan.
Brett's been having whatever Razor's been having.
Anyway.
So, yeah, Razor left his Razor left his thermos here, and it ain't soup inside. We'll just say that.
Oh well, guys. I think that's pretty long today on those two topics.
Yeah, I think that was a good episode. Man. Yeah,
WrestleMania. You gotta wrap it up. Dive right in.
It's that good.
We have to wrap it up. Yeah, I mean
it was, and then we covered some solid new to streaming movies, or maybe the interview's not so new to streaming, but you probably forgot about it that you should go watch. As an American, you should watch it.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen WrestleMania, go back and watch it.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Team America...
Moral of the movie reviews, watch Team America.
And watch the original RoboCop.
And watch the original RoboCop.
The original.
Yeah.
And Samuel L. Jackson, I love you.
Dan, you got some big plans coming up, right? Next week, where are you going to be?
Oh, yes. I will be in the desert.
A particular desert.
This little, I don't know if you've heard about this, it's like a little underground event. It's called Coachella.
Oh, you have to see a secret password.
I think I've heard about
door,
that.
Right, to get in?
You do?
Yeah, shit. I think so.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, it's really exclusive.
Yeah.
It's really exclusive.
They don't let anyone just buy a $400 ticket and walk in.
Shit.
It's your first time, though, right?
It is my first time going weekend one.
Ooh-wee.
It should be a great, great time. Looking forward to it. Basically, like, two of my best friends since freshman year of college were going, and we got another friend to buy our friend's girlfriend's tickets. So
what's the one act that you know that you're going to see?
Know that I'm going to see, or I'm going to make sure I see? Because I'm pretty sure I'm going to see, like, AC/DC and
the one act that you know you're going to see.
It's going to be brand new on Sunday. I will screw the Sahara tent. Sorry, any EDM performers want to see. I will be parked right in front of the stage for brand new.
Yeah, that'll be a great show.
And I will be singing Taking Back Sunday lyrics to them in between those songs.
Yes.
Not because I love brand new, don't get me wrong. But I just
you fucking troll.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. You fucking would.
Yeah.
You fucking would.
Play yourself last summer. Play Cube Up the E.
Oh, God. And Dan gets his ass kicked by brand new.
Yeah.
Reignites the punk war.
Jesse hitting the face of his guitar.
Reignites the punk war. But hey, I think that was a good episode.
So maybe in a couple weeks, in a couple episodes, I'll have some Coachella stories.
Cool.
Right before you go off to Coachella.
Yeah, without Brian this year. Brian's not coming this year, and I'm so sad. Yeah.
Brian's an adult now.
Taking a time out from Coachella. Sick of wearing an adult diaper for weekend out of the year.
That is true.
No one told me about diapers.
Oh, you'll wait.
Oh,
and
just wait.
Well, if you want to follow along in my Coachella adventure, my Instagram is at Dan
Perez _. And my Twitter, as always, at Dan_Perez_. And the Pop Not Soda account, which you should always follow, at Pop_Not_Soda.
And Brian, your Twitter account?
We'll be dropping that for
damn it for every fucking time
for the launch party.
Has your mom been retweeting anything of yours? Any content she's been on there?
Oh yeah. I always keep it to 140 characters. And
so you keep it 100.
I keep it 140. I keep it 140.
Keep it 100. 140.
140. 140.
That needs to be a shirt. I keep it 140 with a twit.
With the
brand.
Pop Not Soda. Forget you heard that.
Yep. All right. We will see you next time. And don't fucking steal our idea.
Razor, stop doing what you're doing.
Hey, man, I'm pissing back here.
That's a plant, not a toilet.
Oh.